Okay, good morning everyone. Today's daf is daf Nun Hey, and we're going to pick up, today's daf is Nun Vav. And we're going to pick up on Nun Hey Amud Beis. And we're going to pick up five lines from the bottom. We're Rava Amar. But in any event, just to remind ourselves where we were, so we had the Gemara had been discussing that Rav Asi said in the name of Rav Yochanan that a Meitzar, this boundary marker, either raised or depressed, V'achatzav, we discussed yesterday different views in the Rishonim, but it was some kind of bush that was, some kind of planting that was used as a divider, as a separation. So Rav Asi said in the view of Rav Yochanan that divider is a valid divider for purposes of Nechse Ager, to take, for the halachas of dividing fields for Nechse Ager. But we went through all of this, I'm not going to repeat it now, but as relates to Peya and Tuma, which we walked through yesterday, what each of those cases were, it's not a valid separator or divider. And then Ravin said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, he argued on Rabbi Asi about what Rabbi Yochanan said, and he said, no, even for Peya and Tuma, it also is this chatzav bush or planting is also a valid divider. So now the Gemara is being medayek, that the thought would be, I'm sorry, so we're going to pick up, not where I said, not by Rav Amar, but three words before that, Avala Shabbos lo. So the Gemara is being medayek that from the fact that we said that it works either just for Nechse Ger, or it works for Nechse Ger and Tuma and Peya, but for purposes of Shabbos, it doesn't work. To this, Rava Amar, Rava says, Afilu l'inyan Shabbos, that even as relates to Shabbos, we're going to say that this chatzav planting is a valid divider. So what would be, as has been our pattern in the past, that we have to, once we say a case that it applies or doesn't, we say, where is it that boundaries are relevant for purposes of each of these things? So where is it that boundaries are relevant for purposes of Shabbos? The Sanya, because we learned in a Braisa, Hotzi chatzi grogros l'rishus harabim v'henicha v'chazer v'hotzi chatzi grogros acheres. And then he went, so it says, someone brings out a half a grogres, a grogeres was a dried fig. So he brings out half a dried fig to the rishus harabim and he puts it down. And then he goes back and brings out another half a grogeres, another half of a fig, and he puts it down. So now, what is this talking about? So we know the halacha is that you cannot carry from a Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa. So the question here is, someone took, and now we know that there is a shear, and we'll talk a little bit about shiurim for this, but there is a shear for what constitutes an amount that you're not allowed to take out, and the general rule is that it's a grogeres, it's a fig. So here, the guy went and took out a half a fig, and then he went and took out another half a fig. And so the question is, do you look at it in the aggregate and say that he took out a fig and therefore he should be chayav misa if he did it on purpose, that he should be chayav achatas if he did it by accident? Or do we say that, look, at the end of the day, in one taking, he needs to take out a full fig worth and he didn't do that here? So the Gemara says, behelam echad chayav, that if he did it in one helam. So helam is generally means something was hidden from him. So generally, as we said, it relates to Hilchos Shabbos, there's two forms of halama, of being hidden. One is that someone doesn't realize that something is usur on Shabbos, or alternatively, he doesn't realize that it is Shabbos. He thinks it's Tuesday. So he knows you can't carry from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, but he thinks it's Tuesday, so therefore it's okay. So if, in under the same halama, his mistaken belief, whether his mistaken belief was that it's not Shabbos or that it's not usur on Shabbos, he did both of these carrying outs, so therefore it happened in one instance and was not separated by his being informed of his mistake. So we say, behelam echad chayav. So then the fact that he did it all under one frame of mind, that makes him chayav. B'shnei halamos. But if, let's say he thought it was Tuesday, and then he took out a half of a fig, and then they told him, no, no, it's Shabbos, don't do that, and he forgot again, and he did it again. So then we say that's two halamas, it's two times hidden from him, and therefore those incidents are separated by, Rashban says, that the idea mechalekes, that his becoming informed of his mistake divides the two. And therefore, these are two separate actions, and you can't combine them for purposes of making a single shear. So if it's helam echad chayav, b'shnei helam is pater. Rabbi Yossi says, behelam echad, that when he agrees that if it's in two ha'alamos, if it's in two mistaken beliefs, that for sure he's pater. But Rabbi Yossi adds on top of that to say that if it's helam echad, it requires something else. Is that also it needs to be? Okay, it needs to be, if it's helam echad, it also needs to be in the same rishus, meaning that when he brings out the half of a grogeres, he has to bring it to the same, let's say he's taking from Rishus HaYachid, he has to bring it to the same Rishus HaRabim both times. If he takes a Chatzi Grogeres to one Rishus HaRabim, and then he goes to a second Rishus HaRabim, then he's going to be Pater. So that's what he says. Rabbi Yossi says, Behelam Echad, it has to be in one Halama, one mistake that he's making, Rishus Achas, and it's in one Rishus, then Chayev. B'shtei Rishuyos, but if it's in two Rishuyos, then it's Pater. And so now they're explaining what does it mean to be in one rishos or two rishoses. V'amar Rabba, v'hu sheyesh chiyav chatas b'neim, avo karmelis lo. So he says as follows, that how do you know whether it's one rishos? Is does it have a chiyav chatas between them? What does this mean? So if you have a rishos harabim that has between it a rishos hayachid and then another rishos harabim, that makes it two separate Rishus HaRabims. Why? Because it's separated by a place that has a Chiyav Chatas. Because if he were to carry from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid, he's Chayav HaChatas or vice versa. So that is how we're going to define whether, for purposes of knowing, did he bring this, each half of a fig, into the same Rishus or into two different Rishuyos, is going to depend on whether there's a Rishus HaYachid between these two Rishus HaRabims that we're trying to figure out. Avo Karmelis lo. But if it's a Karmelis, it's not. So if we remember back to our, heavily in our Erevin days, so Karmelis is something that is not a Rishus HaYachid, because a Rishus HaYachid is something that is enclosed and partitioned. A Rishus HaRabim is something that is wide, is a road. A Karmelis is most other things. For example, a field, the Rashbam says. If you have a field, that's going to be a karmelis. So what's the halach of a karmelis? The halach of a karmelis is that minat Torah, we're not chayiv. If you carry from Rishus HaRabim to a karmelis or vice versa, you're not chayiv. But the midrabanan, you are. So since midrabanan, you're not allowed to carry, according to Rabbah, he's saying that what defines two separate Rishus HaRabims if they have a Rishus HaYachid between it, but if it has only a karmelis, that's not a sufficient divider. Abaya Omar, Abaya says, afilu karmelis. That even a Karmelis divides two Rishus HaRabims and make them into separate ones for purposes of this halacha of bringing out the half figs. Avo Pisla lo. But a Pisla not. There's a lot of huge number of discussions in Rishonim about exactly what Pisla is. But the Rashbam is saying it's some kind of a Chatichas Eitz, or Amud, it's a pillar, or it's a cut of wood, that She'ena Gavo, Yudamos, that it's something that's not 10, it's not 10 amos tall, and it's not 4 tefachim wide. And this makes it into something that's generally called a makom p'tur. A makom p'tur is different than a karmelis because even midrabanan you can carry from a makom p'tur into a rishus harabim and vice versa. So like if you have like a small, like a, you know, let's say a fire hydrant might be a makom p'tur. It's not dalet al dalet, it's not yud tefachim tall generally. So if you put something down from Rishus HaRabim onto the fire hydrant, that might be considered a makom p'tur. So they're saying that according to Abaya, that a karmelis does divide two Rishus HaRabims, but a pisla, this little board that is a makom p'tur, does not. Rava Amar, Rava says afilu pisla, even this makom p'tur does define it as a separate Rishus HaRabim. And the Rashbam, the way he understands this is he tries to understand the degree to which the Rishus that we're talking about is batal or subsidiary to the Rishus HaRabim. So Rishus HaYachid is its own Rishus for sure. A Karmelis, question. A Makom Petur is generally subordinate to the area, so that's what they're arguing about in each case. In any event, Rava says that even if it's a makom patur, it's considered separate. So now, what does this have to do with everything we're talking about? Because we were saying that does a chatzav planting qualify as a proper divider? And so the question is, so we're talking here about, so this is a question that, in other words, would you consider it? So a chatzav planting is just like a pisla. It's not a karmelis. It's a case of a something that's a divider. So we say va'az the Rava l'taime. Rava goes according to his reason. Dama Rava rishus Shabbos k'rishus gittin dummy. That rishus Shabbos is k'rishus gittin. What is this referring to? So it's referring to a very specific case that we learned in Maseches Gittin on Daf Ayin Zayin, which is going as follows. We know that a husband has two ways to divorce his wife. He can hand her a get, or he can throw it into her rishus. So what happens if his wife is not in the mood of receiving a get, and she doesn't want to take it from him, so he wants to throw it to her? The problem is, she doesn't have any rishus. She doesn't own any land. So what does he do? He's very resourceful. We learned this case. He lends her the land for purposes of it being a rishus for her, so that then he can throw her the get. So he says, okay, I just lent you the land you're standing, then he throws the get and she gets it. Now what happens if the get lands on a board or some kind of pillar that's in this land he just lent her? Is that part of it or isn't? And we say that it's not, because a person lends one rishus, he doesn't lend two. And therefore, it's considered a separate rishus, and when he throws the get to her, and it lands on this board or this pillar, it's not a valid get, because even though he lent her a rishus, this is a rishus b'fnei atzmo. So that's the halacha in Gittin. So Rava is saying, just like in Gittin, that was considered, this board was considered its own rishus, so the get landing on it does not divorce her, so too in the case of Shabbos, that we're going to say that if there's this kind of divider between two rishus harabims, it's going to be a valid divider. And therefore, so too, the chatzav planting, according to Rava, would apply even for purposes of Shabbos. And that's the basis. Rava compares it to Gittin, which is why he says that that's a valid divider. And that answer, that explains what it means when Rava says that it goes along with the chatzav. So I want to go back for a moment. There's a fascinating Rashbam that has great significance. So four lines from the bottom. It doesn't have. It's not bolded, at least in mine. But b'Maseches Shabbos Tanan, hamotzi ochlin chayav begrogeres. That it brings from the Mishnah in Shabbos that someone who takes out food is chayav if he brings it out in the shear of a grogeres, of a dried fig. We talked about this before, but here's the interesting part. The b'Shabbos meleches machsheves asra Torah. That on Shabbos, it's meleches, I'm sorry? So it's meleches machsheves asra Torah, that it's a case of meleches machsheves that the Torah says it's asr. And the Rashbam continues, v'lo chashiva hotzaz davar, sorry, let me just see what the dalet is. If you're talking about taking out a food item that is not considered, it's not considered chashuv if it's less than a grogeres. So what's interesting here is, as we've somewhat encountered over the years, meleches machsheves is a very hard thing to exactly define. Meleches machsheves comes from the Mishkan. We know that the Lamatas Melechas are learned from the Mishkan. So exactly what meleches machsheves means, it has different meanings. For example, that's why if you do a melacha, but it's kilkel, you're ruining something, it's not a violation of the laws of Shabbos because it's meleches machsheves, only Asr Torah. There's a lot of things that come out of it, but the Rashbam seems to be creating this idea that if something does not have a shear that's chashuv, it fails the test of meleches machsheves. It's not even a meleches machsheves. Now Rashi, people learn from Rashi in a couple of places that Rashi doesn't learn this way. And Rashi just learns that the question of whether chatzi grogeres is aser or not, and whether it comes together, is just a regular case of that this is the amount. It's a question of shiurim, but it's not a question of meleches machsheves. Now, what's the significance of whether a shiur is a question of meleches machsheves or not? Because if you have something that is pachus mishir, and you're saying it's not a maleches makshavas, then it's not even, it's nothing. It's not in any way a violation of Shabbos. Versus we have a concept of chatzi shir asur min haTorah, that min haTorah, even if it gives you a shir, it's still asur. Sometimes you can only get punished for the shir, but it's still asur to do less than the shir. But the way, if you understand chatzi shir is, the Torah said a shir, you're not allowed to do less than that, but it doesn't, you know, for whatever purposes, you have the shir. Okay, so if it's a shir, you shouldn't do it. If it's less than the shir, you shouldn't do it, because that's what the Torah asserted. If you understand that chatzi shir, if you understand that shir is an issue of malachas makshavas, and if it's less than the shir, it's not chashuv, that's what the Rashbam says, then it's not malachas makshavas at all. And therefore, you can go ahead and do it without any problem. So whether you understand shir to be a component of malachas makshavas or not has huge ramifications. Now, why would Rashi not hold this way? There are certain sources that support this, the idea that if something, even if you're saying that a certain size is chashuv, that's in the ordinary course. But by someone taking out a half of a fig, it shows that for whatever reason it's chashuv to him, because he went into his property and he took a half a fig and he took it out. So therefore I understand that you don't assume that just because something is not chashuv shir, that it's machas machshevis. Where do you see this in an interesting thing? That it seems from the Chinuch when it talks about a tattoo. So a tattoo is ksuvas kaka. You're writing a tattoo. Now ksiva, which is writing, so the Chinuch says that if someone writes even one letter in a tattoo, then they're over on the Isser and they can get Malkus for writing a letter in the tattoo. In Shabbos, we have a halacha that in order to be over on Shabbos, into the malacha of ksiva of writing, you have to have two osios. So, and that's not a problem. In other words, it's not a distinction in the way they're understanding it, that the Chinuch would learn like the Rashbam. It's not a problem that in one case you define writing as one letter and in another case you define it as two, because as relates to Shabbos has its own measurements about what is chashuv. And if it's chashuv, then that is the issue. So it's a very interesting thing. The Chazon Yecheskel brings from the Rambam. The Rambam brings a shear for what has to do with shearing an animal of kachim, and he brings a raya as to the shear from Shabbos. And people say, well, how do you know you can compare Shabbos? Maybe Shabbos is only maleches makshavas, and maybe that's not the shear for anything else. So they learn on that basis that the Rambam probably does not learn like the Rashbam, and the Rambam would learn more like Rashi. Okay. So continuing along here, back to Nunvav Amud Aleph. Okay, Ein Sham Lo Meitzar V'Lo Chatzav Mai. What happens if you do not have any? If you don't have a boundary, or you don't have this chatzav bush, then what's the halacha in terms of how you know, or what are the contours of the field? Now, in some sense, if you recall, we had this question. After we had the machlokas, between Rav and Shmuel about whether you acquire, if you have a bounded field, whether you acquire with one dig or not dig. But then they said, what if there are no boundaries? And we said you have to plow back and forth east to west or back and forth north to south, two rows, and that's the way you acquire it. So some people understand that I see we're already running a little late, so I'm not going to get into it, but there's questions as to whether there's a machlokas between, because now they're asking according to Rav Yochanan, is there a machlokas between Rav, who that was said according to, and Rav Yochanan, or not? Others understand that the distinction is that over there it was talking, we're going to see in a moment something about watering your fields, that there it was talking about fields that have to water themselves, that are, you know, have natural rainfall versus ones that require irrigation, and perhaps the level of ownership or the judgment of ownership is going to be different between those two. The Tosfos Rid says that way, the Rosh and the Ran and some others. Some seem to understand it to define it very specifically by a case that's something that's fed by a bar, which we'll see in a moment. Interestingly, for Tosas, this is not a question at all, because Tosas doesn't understand this to be a question of Nechse Ger in the separation, but rather Tosas understands this to be, so in other words, in the case of Nechse Ger, it's an agricultural field and we're trying to figure it out, and Tosas understands it to be a question of going back on the case of Tumah, and there's all kinds of views on the Rambam. But whatever the point is, it seems just in the way the Rashbam understands it, we seem to be asking a similar question to what we asked before, which is, how do you acquire a field that has no boundaries? So Pirish, or how do you judge what constitutes a field? Pirish Rabbi Mironis, Mishmo. Piers Rabbi Minyanis Mishmo. Kol shenikreis al shmo. Anything that is called on the basis of the owner's names. So therefore, that he says as follows, that if they say it is so-and-so's field, this is generally how it's understood, that it has to do with whether they say it in the singular or plural. So if you take a look at the Rashbam, Pirush Rabbi Marianus Mishmo, he says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kol shenikreis al shmo, kol shenikreis al sada echad, b'loshen yachid al shmo, that if they refer to a specific field belonging to a specific person, shekaren lo sada ploni, they call it so-and-so's field. She'ain omer sados ploni. They don't say fields. Kana hakol b'makosh echad. And in that case, you're going to acquire everything with one dig. So the way they're understanding, the way the Rashbam understands Rabbi Marionis is saying that if they refer to something as so-and-so's field, that is a field. If they refer to that same area as so-and-so's fields, that is going to be, then we're not going to consider that. But we're not going to consider that bounded, that you can acquire it all with one dig. According to Tosos, who understands it's a question about Tumah, so it's what we learned yesterday, so they're understanding, let's say you have a guy owns the whole area, the whole agricultural area there. So if they refer to it as, you know, George's fields, so then you say it's multiple fields, and you're going to get into the Svek Sveka that we had yesterday that makes Tumah Tahar. On the other hand, if they say that's George's field, so then, the way Tosfos understands, that would be considered one field, and if you have Safek Tumah versus a Yachid, it is Tameh that we learned yesterday. Okay, so that's his standard, and he says, Heichi Dami, Amra Papa, the Karule Be Gargusa de Planya. Be Gargusa, Gargusa is like a reservoir or a water pond, that if they call it, so-and-so's water pond, that's the field that it services. Some understand this to be just an example. Some understand this to be that we're actually discussing, that whether a water source defines its fields. Okay. Yasav Ravacha bar Avya kame de Ravasi, v'yasav v'kamer m'shmei de Ravasi bar Chanina. So Ravacha bar Avya was sitting in front of Ravasi, and he was sitting and saying in the name of Ravasi bar Chanina, Chatzuva mafzik b'nechse ager. That a chatzuva, which is this chatzav planting that we talked about before. So this is similar to Rav Yochanan's halacha. Halacha's mafsik menichse ager. It divides for purposes of nichse ager. My chatzuva, what's chatzuva? I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav, Shebo teichem Yeshua li Yisrael es aretz. That this was from the language of like tchum. That this is how Yeshua divided Eretz Yisrael amongst the Jews. Now why did he do this? We learned yesterday, in the Rashbam, if you take a look at the Rashbam on Nunhei Amud Aleph, about nine lines up from the bottom, it talks about Chatzav Hu Ilan, it's a tree, or Esav, or a herb, Shebot Techem Yeshua as Eretz Yisrael, that Yeshua divided Eretz Yisrael with. Lefi Sheyorid V'yonek Kenegdo V'eni Yonek Lo Mikan V'lo Mikan. We said the reason why this is a good divider bush and why Yeshua used it when he divided up Eretz Yisrael is because it gets its sustenance by going straight down. It doesn't go to the right or left, and it doesn't go into anyone else's property. It doesn't interfere with any other plant. And so therefore, Kidamar, he quotes the Gemara in Be'a, Chatzuva mekatea ragleyen the rishoyim shemasigen gvul reyehen, that he says this chatzuva, this planting, cuts off the feet of the rishoyim, of the bad people that are masig gvul reyehu, that interfere, go over the boundary of their friends. So therefore, that's why Yeshua chose it, because it wasn't just that he chose something practical that went downward. He was trying to send a message to people. He says that when I define the boundaries of the land, you know, I'm using a chatzav bush, which reminds you that you should not violate the boundaries of your neighbor. And that's what the Gemara is saying here, that's why Techem Yeshua L'Yisrael Asaretz, he used this chatzav planting. V'am Rabbi Yehuda Merav, since we quoted Rabbi Yehuda Merav before, we're going to continue with something new. L'mana Yeshua L'Yisrael Asaretz HaGvulin, that when in Sefer Yeshua, when it mentions towns or cities, it's mentioning those towns that were used for purposes of either defining the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael or defining the boundaries of the chelek, of the portion that belonged to each of the shvatim. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. So So now again, Rav Yehuda on Eretz Yisrael, but this time not in the name of Rab, but rather in the name of Shmuel. Kol sheharoa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe chayev b'maiser. That any area we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was not zochet to go into Eretz Yisrael, but before he died, the Rabbanu Shalom took him up and showed him Eretz Yisrael from a distance. So he says that anything that Rabbanu Shalom showed Moshe, that when Klal Yisrael is going to be manchil the arts, when they're going to inherit the land, that's what's going to be chayev and meiser. Lafuke mai, what is this coming to exclude? Lafuke keni kenizi v'kadmoni. That this is coming to exclude the three things, keni, kenizi, v'kadmoni. Where do these come from, and why would we think that they would be included in Eretz Yisrael? Because in the case of the Bris Ben Abisarim, there's ten areas and lands that were promised to Avraham Avinu, of which there were the seven that were the Shiva Saumos, the Kanani, Echite, Amori, Echivi. By the way, and if you're going to go count, you're going to see that you're only going to count six of them. And there's this one listed there called Rephaim. The Rephaim is another word for the Chivi. But in any event, there were the seven, there were the Shiva Umos, and then these three additionally were promised Avraham Avinu at Bris Ben Abisarim. And so when eventually they will come into the possession of the Jews, it will not be Chayv and Meiser, because only the Shiva Umos that the Rabbanu Shalom showed Moshe are the ones that are going to become Chayv in Meiser. Tanya Rabbi Meir, Amir Rabbi Meir says, what is this? The Rashbam says they're each arguing about what's kini, kinizi, v'kadmoni. Rabbi Meir says it's naftucha, arva, v'shalma. These are three peoples or areas. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, harseir, amon, and moav. That it's harseir, amon, and moav are these three things, kini, kinizi, v'kadmoni. Rabbi Shimon says, ardiskis, which is what we call Damascus nowadays, Asia, which is part of Asia, Vaspamya. That's how they understand the kini, kinizi, v'kadmoni. Okay, the Mishnah, nunvav, amon, aleph. Hayushnayim me'idin oso sha'achla shalosh shanim v'nimtzu zomimin mishamim lo es hakol. So he says as follows. So let's just take a refresher for a moment about what are Edim Zomimim. So Edim Zomimim, ordinarily, if you have witnesses that come and say one thing, you have other witnesses that come and say a different thing, we don't know what to do with that. We discount both. But if you have a case where someone came, two witnesses came to be made on something, and other witnesses came along and said, we don't know anything about the fact that they're testifying on over there, but what we know is that they weren't there to witness what they said they were witnessing. So that's a case of Zomimim, and we say, the Pasuk says, Vasisim lo kasher zomim, lasos la'achiv, you do to them whatever they wanted to do to their friends. If they were trying to kill them, they get killed. If they were trying to cost them money, they cost them money. In this particular case, what they tried to do is, I had a field, I claimed that I bought it from Michael, and I brought these guys, and they were testifying testifying that I had it for 3 years, which would take it out of Michael's rishus, because I'm claiming I bought it, and they were testifying the 3 years. And Zomimim come along and say, so then other Edom come along and say that the witnesses who were supporting my chazaka were Zomimim. So now what happens? The Zomimim, what would have been the effect of what they were trying to do? They were trying to make Michael lose his field. So first of all, Michael gets back his field from me because I don't have a chazaka. And second of all, Michael gets to collect from them the value of the field because they did a case of Zomimim. The Rishonim discuss what's the chiddush of this. This is a basic halacha of Edim Zomimim. The Tosfos Rid brings a reason having to do with Pagin and Dibure, but most of the Rashbad and the Mugi Yosef, others just understand that the Mishnah is telling us a very basic din of Zomimim, and it's just trying to set us up for the next case. What's the next? I'm sorry?
How's it not Kasher Asa? Once they give their Eidus, Kasher Asa should be done. It's as if the Chazaka happened. But once they give their Eidus, now he had it for 3 years. That's not Kasher Zomimim, that's Kasher Asa.
But the effect of what they were doing by testifying that I had it for 3 years, they're removing the field from his rishus. So therefore,
once they give the edus, the chazaka should be complete. That's all we needed was the edus. It's as if we
and therefore what? Oh, you're saying it's accepted already.
Right. But he reverses.
Interesting question. Have to think about that. Okay. Okay. So that's the case of Edim Zomimim. Now, second case. Shnayim Barishona, Shnayim Bishnia, Ushnayim Bishlishis. So what happened? You had two Edim who came along and said, that I know that he was in the field for first year. And two other Edom came along and said, I know that he was in the field for the second year. And two other Edom came along and said, I know that he was in the field for the third year. So now the question is, we have witnesses who are testifying that someone has a chazakah, but there's no two witnesses that's testifying on all the years. But we say we're going to accept that. And therefore, Mishalshalim Beinehem, if they're found to be Zomamim, then what happens? You divide the cost. Basically, they were trying to take the field away. You divide the cost of the field into three, and each set of witnesses is responsible for a third of the value of the field that now needs to be paid to Michael. Okay? Shlosha achim ve'echad mitzarif imayim. So now what do you have? This is an interesting thing. You have three witnesses who are brothers. Now we know brothers cannot testify together. They're puzzled. They can't testify with each other. But what happens here? We're dealing again with the case. We have two witnesses for first year, two witnesses for second year, two witnesses for third year. So you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, who are brothers. So Reuven is testifying on first year, Shimon on second year, Levi on third year. And you have Yehuda, who testifies on all 3 years. So basically, for purposes of the first year, it's Yehuda and Reuven. For second year, it's Yehuda and Shimon. For third year, it's Yehuda and Levi. And Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are brothers. So what we're saying is that Hare Elu Shalosh Edios, so we're saying we treat it as three isolated incidents of Edos, and therefore it's allowed for them to testify because we don't look at it as Reuven is testifying together with Shimon or Shimon is testifying together with Levi because they're each testifying on something separate. And what one is testifying on, the other's not testifying on. Reuven's only testifying on year one. Shimon's only testifying on year two. So therefore we allow it for those purposes and we consider them separate. But V'hein Edos Achas L'Hazama. But they're treated as one unit for purposes of Hazama. And we know the halacha by Hazama is that all of the witnesses need to be disproven. So what we're saying is, though, if you can disprove all four of them, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, then we look at that as one big unit. You cannot create Hazama until you do Hazama on all of them. But when you do, we look at them as a unit, and we consider that a case of Hazama, and they each... Actually, the way this would get divided, interestingly, is Reuven would pay a sixth, Shimon would pay a sixth, Levi would pay a sixth, and Yehuda has to pay half, because he testified half of each of the 3 years. But that's how it would be divided. So it's a dichotomy of a certain sort. That on the one hand, we look at them as separate years, isolated years, for purposes of not disqualifying them as brothers, but we look at it as a unit for purposes of Hazama. That's the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Masnisin delo k'Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva. Desanya. Because what's different about our Mishnah versus Rabbi Akiva? Am Rabbi Yossi, kishahalach abachalafta etzer Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri lamotara. That when Rabbi Yossi says that when my father chalafta, which you look at the Rashbam says, abachalafta, avi chalafta, avi, my father, Avi Chalafta, Rabbi Yossi, Avi Chalafta, my father Chalafta, that's what Rabbi Yossi was saying. Rabbi Yossi Stam, because when we just have Rabbi Yossi in the Gemara, Hein Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, this is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. So therefore, when Rabbi Yossi was saying Abba Chalafta, he wasn't referring to someone named Abba Chalafta, he was referring to his father Chalafta. The poskim discuss as to how is it that he can call his father by his first name. And Archa Shulchan says that Abba Chalafta is, as long as he says the word Abba, where you see this is sometimes like you have a gabai and they call someone up, they say Yamod Avi Mori. Some people say that. Other people will say Yamod Avi Mori and then they say his name. So that's a question as to whether you can say a name if you preface it by saying Abba of Avi Mori, something like that in front of it. But in any event, so Abba Chalafta went to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri to learn Torah. Va'amrila Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri eitzor Abba Chalafta lomo Torah. Whatever the point was, it seems to be a question as to who is the Rebbe and who is the Talmud, who went to learn from who. But whatever the point is, Abba Chalafta and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri got together to talk Torah. Amr lo, he said to him, Hare she'achla shana rishona b'fnei shnayim, shnia b'fnei shnayim, shlishish b'fnei shnayim, mahu. So he says, the case of our Mishnah, what happens if you have these separate groups, each one testifying on 1 year? Amr lo, harezu chazaka. He says, this is a chazaka. To which he responded, Amar lo, he said back to him, Af ani omer kein, I'm in full agreement with you. So what do you have so far? You have our Mishnah said that you could have these three groups each testifying on a separate year. You have Abba Chalafta, and you have Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because they said we agree with each other. Ella, Rabbi Akiva cholik b'davar zeh. Rabbi Akiva argue, Shahi Rabbi Akiva omer, because Rabbi Akiva says, Davar v'lo chatzi davar. So he says, because it has the word davar, and which says, al pishnaim edim yakum davar. So you need, it says that a matter, the pasuk that we know that you can have two witnesses, refers to their testimony as a thing, as a davar. And so therefore, that you have to have one, you have to have testimony as to one thing. You can't have testimony as to half a thing. So therefore, each year of a chazakah is only one third of a testimony. So how can you accept testimony from three different groups and then combine it? That's chatzi davar. It's actually shlish davar. So the Gemara says that's why Rabbi Akiva would argue on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said you could have these three separate groups come together. Rabbanan.
The brothers.
I'm sorry?
The difference between brothers or not?
No, this we're talking about the case of two witnesses for year one, two witnesses for year two. We're not focused on the brother case right now. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan hai davar v'lo chatzi davar mai abdilei. What do the Rabbanan do with this? In other words, the Rabbanan, a reference, as we said, to our Mishnah, Abba Chalafta, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, what would they do with this? So they say, Ilema lumiyute echad omer achas begabo, ve'echad omer achas bekrese. So what is it talking about? So we know that a girl, there's three stages. A girl is a katana, then she becomes a nara, then she becomes a bogaris. How does she transition between those? She's a katana until such time as she A, turns 12 years old, and also brings two sirus, two hairs. By and large, we understand these to mean pubic hairs. We'll talk about that in a minute. So therefore, that is how she goes from being a katana to a nara. 6 months after she becomes a nara, she becomes a bogeres. So now the question is as follows: we need a testimony of some sort as to whether she has these shtei sirus. So what happens? We're wondering. So they say perhaps that when it says davar v'lo chatzi davar is coming to exclude the case of one person says, I saw a hair, big gaba is on her back, is how we would ordinarily translate that, but at least the Rashbam is of the opinion, we're gonna see it in a moment, the other one says, echad bekrese, I saw it in her stomach. So one witness said I saw a hair on her back, and one witness said I saw a hair on her stomach. Some might understand it to be literally, the Rashbam says bekrese ba'oso makum, in that place, meaning in her private area, that's where we're talking about, and these expressions, back and stomach, just mean the front or back of the area that you're looking for shtei sirus. So we say maybe that's what it's coming to exclude when it says davar velo chatzi davar, it has to be a full thing and not a half a thing, is if you have one witness for the front and one witness for the back. So the Gemara says, hai chatzi davar v'chatzi, I'm sorry, let me just see what the aleph there is, hai chatzi davar chatzi edus hi. So the Gemara says, why are you saying that's a half a davar? That's a half an edus, because one aid testifying about, and then you see that's the language. You have chatzi davar v'chatzi edus, or is chatzi edus he is a question. But the question is, you have that, first of all, it's one aid who's testifying, and they're only testifying on half the matter. Because you need shtei sires, they're each only testifying on one sire, and they're each a single aid. So he says, how could that be the case? That's not, forget chatzi davar, that's chatzi edus, that's not even edus. So we say, elo lemuyute, shnayim omrim achas begabov, shnayim omrim achas bekrese. That one, you have two sets of witnesses are coming. One is coming and saying that we saw that she had a hair in the front. And the other is saying that we saw that she had a hair in the back. And we're saying that's what it comes to exclude when it says davar v'lo chatzi davar. That when it says a full thing and not a half a thing is you cannot combine testimonies of people who are saying we each saw one hair. Now we're going to talk in a little bit of detail about how we're going to understand this. But let's just first put a couple things out of the way. One, the Rashbam says that we need to be talking obviously about where they're testifying at the same time. Because otherwise, we know that you could say that if you say that she had a hair in the front yesterday and she had a hair in the back today, that doesn't prove anything, because you could say one fell out, and if it falls out, we assume it was just a hair that was part of a mole. So in any event, the Rashbam points out that it has to be here. So the real question is going to be, the Gemara seems to be making a distinction. We say that according to the Rabbanan, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Abba Chalafta, our Mishnah, that you can combine these witnesses for purposes of establishing a chazakah in a field, but you cannot combine testimony of two sets of witnesses when they're testifying about a shtei saras. So now, I'm not sure I fully understand it, but it looks to me that if you look at the end of, the Rashbam, three or four lines down in the wide lines, he says that it basically comes. I'm sorry, that's not where it is. Let me just find the one I'm looking for. I need to find it. But basically, the Rashbam seems to saying, at the end of the day, maybe I'll find it in a minute, we need to pick between, in other words, we need to have one case that's excluded by Dover v'lo chatzi Dover. And they're saying, basically, it makes more sense to exclude the case of that we don't combine the Eidos for purposes of Shtei Cyrus, but we do combine the Eidos for purposes of the field. And so the question is, why would we be comfortable combining Eidos for purposes of Chazaka, but we're not comfortable combining Eidos for purposes of the Shtei Cyrus? And there's really, like, all the Rishonim talk about this, pretty much. So you have the Rif, and you have Tysus Springs in the name of the Rashba, which is saying something interesting, they're all interesting, but he says that the first year that the first group testifies on, and the second year that the second group testifies on, are each independently significant. Why are they independently significant? Because if I cannot establish that I was entitled, if I did not occupy, going back to the example where I have Michael's field, that if I can only establish that I was there for 2 years, and there are witnesses that come and say I was there for 2 years, so what's the halacha? The field goes back to Michael because I can't establish 3 years. And because witnesses testified that I ate the fruits for 2 years, I now need to pay Michael. So therefore, each group of witnesses who testified on a year, their testimony, as relates to chazaka, might be divided into three parts, but each of them, their testimony was a testimony with meaning. Whereas to testify that a girl had one hair is meaningless. It doesn't have anything to it. So now there's a number of people have questions on this. The Bala Ma'ar, I'm going to skip the questions on each of these. There's a lot of them, but let's just stick with the different versions there are. Okay, so Rashi and the Ramban learn something else, which is as follows, that they're saying that when you testify that a girl had one hair, right, you're not even starting the Eidos. Why? Because one hair is very common for a young girl to have. So it's not like you've started the process of Shtei Cyrus. It's not like one hair grows and then another one comes right away thereafter. It's very common for a young girl to have one hair. It means nothing at all. So therefore, when the first set of witnesses testify about a hair, it's irrelevant. It doesn't even get us started. Versus when the first group testifies about the first year that I was in the field, it started a process of saying that I'm muchzuk in that field. Now the question is, do we have 2 more years to come? But it started. So therefore, that's how they understand the distinction Rashi and the Ramban. The Rimi Gash says something which I don't really understand, and a lot of the Rishonim ask on it, but he talks about the fact that Shtei Cyrus need to be in the same place. They can't be in the front and the back. What's hard to understand is that might be true as a halacha, but it's hard to understand why that is what our Gemara is talking about, because our Gemara is not talking about a halacha of Shtei Cyrus. Our Gemara is talking about a halacha of Eidos. So if you're answering me that it has to do with where the hairs are, how is that relevant to our Gemara, which is clearly trying to establish something that relates to Eidos? And so the Balamar and the Adarama asked that question on the Rimigash. So I'm not sure I can fully present that one in a way that I understand it. Okay, Tosos in Baba Kama as well as the Rashbam here at some level, say as follows. That it's an interesting thing. They say, the question is, did the Edim do everything they could have done? Right? So, if I am the Edim, if I'm one of the two Edim that's testifying on the first year, so I was there for a year, and I shouldn't use myself, because I'm the guy who's occupying the field. Alan and Greg come, and they say, we saw Yehuda was sitting in the field for year one, right? Now, short of having to be obligated to stay for the next 2 years, there's nothing more they can do. They've said, I occupied that field, right? Whereas the witnesses who are testifying about a girl, whether she has a hair or not, they could have looked at the, if they were testifying on the back, they could have looked at the front. So if they would have looked at her, they had an ability to do more. They could have done more than they did, and therefore we're not going to accept and combine their edus because they could have done more and they didn't. The Ramban doesn't like this because the Ramban says, then you're talking about a question of their nemanis. In other words, but it's not a question. It should be an issue of sheker and not a question of combining edus. The Rashba has trouble with this because he says, let's imagine a scenario that their witnesses testify that at 12:49 p.m. we saw so and so take an animal at post number 46 from their friend and stole it. And two other witnesses say, well, we were at post 46 at 12:49 and we saw him shecht it, right? So the Rashba takes for granted that we would look at that and say that that's a case of stealing and tvicha and mechira, or tvicha, and therefore you should pay dalad v'hei. So he says, where do you come up with this idea that witnesses, in order to be believed, have to see everything they could have seen? He struggles with that concept. So he doesn't like that, but that's the Tosas in Baba Kama and the Rashbam. So interestingly, the Shita Mekubetzes brings from the Shita Shaloi Nodilami, and this I found very interesting. He says as follows. He says, Davar, when we say that you have to testify, Pishnaim Edim Yakum Davar, that a matter gets established, he's saying that matter is a unit. It's a halachic, category. So therefore, the concept of Shtei Cyrus is a unit. You need to have Shtei Cyrus. He understands that in the case of Chazakah, this is not a Torah unit. All it is a testimony that if you end up with 3 years, that is a raya to something. So in other words, they're not understanding, he's distinguishing there's Torah units, that the Torah requires something, that needs to be davar velo chatzi davar. The fact that there is testimony in the category of general testimony that can be combined, if you're not combining to a Torah unit, that they say is different.
It's not a Torah unit?
Chazak is a Torah halacha, but in other words, he's saying it's not a unit of a shir. That's how they seem to understand it.
Therefore, you wouldn't be chayav on living there for the first year if Edim didn't come along.
No. It's saying for purposes of davar, when it says alpi shnayim Edim yakum davar, it's saying this that we say davar velochatzi davar has to be a defined unit of which Shtei Cyrus is versus this testimony is not. Michael doesn't like it. Okay. And the Maritz says that here's what he says. It's something a little bit similar to what the Ramban said about Sheker, but in other words, he says this as the explanation of the difference is because he says that their very testimony, and this gets into something else, which is some Rishonim understand that it's they saw on the right, they didn't see the hair on the left. He's saying the fact that they're testifying and they're saying that they only saw one hair cast doubt on the other one. Because in other words, they're saying if this first group say they saw the hair on the right side of the front, they should have seen it in the back. So if someone else is saying there was one in the back, they're each disqualifying the other at some level because they're saying, I saw it, I didn't see that thing. And they say, I saw this, I didn't see that thing. So they're each casting aspersions on each other. And that's why we're not going to believe it there. And we will believe it, however, in the case of the years of Chazakah. Okay, let's just finish quickly. Amr of Yehuda, Echad Amr Achla Chitim, Echad Amr Achla Sa'arim, Harezu Chazaka. Rav Yehuda says, Halacha says, if one of them says that for 3 years they ate wheat, that I was eating wheat there for 3 years, and another says that I was eating there barley for 3 years, this is a Chazaka. Now, the way the Rashbam chooses to explain this, he tells us the end before the process. So what he's saying is, what this Halacha really is telling me that that the fact, so I have two witnesses. The fact that they're saying two different things about what I ate aren't really relevant. We'll see why in a moment. But essentially, it's saying that those two can combine because they're each saying, I was there for 3 years. That's really what Rav Yehuda's halacha is. But Maskev la Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman asks on this, and Rav Nachman understands that this can't be. Why? Because in other words, he misunderstood the halacha of what Rav Yehuda was saying, and he has a problem. He says, how can it be that one testifies that they were eating, that I was eating wheat for 3 years, and one testifies that I was eating barley? If so, we should knock out both witnesses because they contradict each other, right? So therefore, Rav Nachman said, what must he be saying is that I came and tested, and this is the way the Rashbam understands. Tosfos has a very different understanding, but the Rav Nachman understands that what he came and one witness testified, I saw Yehuda eating wheat in years 1, 3, and 5. And the other one came along and said, I saw him eating barley in years 2, 4, and 6. That's how Rav Nachman understands must be the case. And because he understands that to be the case, Rav Nachman has trouble with this. I'll tell you something, if you take a look, very interesting, the Rashbam says, so if you look the last of the medium lines, I guess you have four width of lines, but whatever, right above the wide lines, he says, V'sha'alti la'ovde ha'adama, I asked farmers, V'amruli, and they said to me, she'la'olam kachu aminog, it's always been the way that we do things, shana achas chitin v'shana achas sorin, that we actually alternate wheat and barley, ken kol ha'yamim, and that way we don't need to leave the fields. We've learned many times that sometimes they would have to leave fields empty, fallow, so that it would regenerate or get its nutrients back. So they say by alternating, he says, I checked with the farmers, and they said that they actually used to alternate. So what happened, the way Rav Nachman's understanding it, is that one witness came and said that I was in the field eating wheat year 1, 3, and 5. The other one says I was in the field eating barley years 2, 4, and 6. That's how Rav Nachman understands the case. So Rav Nachman says, Maskefla Rav Nachman, El Me'ata. So you're telling me, Echad Omer Achla Rishona Shlishis V'chamishis, Echad Omer Achla Shnia Revias V'shishis, Hachi Nami Davi Chazaka. You're going to tell me that that's a Chazaka? So it basically, and that's one of the reasons Tosfos has trouble with this, because he says that's exactly how he's understanding the case. So then just saying, how could you possibly say that would seem to be a strange maskev law. But in any event, Rav Nachman is saying, that doesn't make any sense. Why doesn't it make any sense? Because, as the Rashbam points out, he says, first of all, let's discuss what he's saying. What he's saying first is that he's saying, if you take a look, in Ela Me'ata, Echad Omer Achla Rishona Shlishis, he says, the Heinuch Rav Yehuda, Hachi Nami, we'll see what Rav Yehuda is about in a minute, Hachi Nami de Tave Chazaka, Havadai lo Tave Chazaka, this can't be a Chazaka, Dulo Damya Klal Rav Yishu Ben Karcha, this is not at all similar to Rav Yishu Ben Karcha, we'll see what that is in a minute, Ela Hecha de Echad Omer Achla Rishonu Shniu Shlishis, the Echad Omer Achla Dalet Hei Vav, de Tavaya Chazaka Ma'al Yisal Kamasadi. So he's saying, the idea would be, he says, it's one thing if you would tell me that there was a witness who came and said, I saw him eating in year 1, 2, and 3. And another witness came and said, I saw him eating in year 4, 5, and 6. So then we might combine those two edus to create a single edus. What would be the rationale for combining those edus? Because we learned the halacha Rishu Ben Karcha, which we learned a little bit earlier on Daf Lamed Beis. So if you remember, what we talked about there was the fact where one witness testified that I borrowed $100 from Michael on Sunday, and the other witnesses testified, I don't remember whether they borrowed $200 or he borrowed $100 on Monday. The point was, you had witnesses who were testifying to two different sets of transactions, but they overlapped in the sense that they each agree that I owe $100. And therefore, we were willing to take, that's the halacha we learned in Rabbi Shoban Karcha, we were willing to take two views because they agreed in their purpose. So now what he's saying is, if the witnesses that testified, one witness said 1, 2, 3, and the other said 4, 5, 6, so they're each testifying that I had a chazaka because I occupied the field for 3 years in a row. So then the question just becomes, do we combine their testimony to say that between the two of them, I have two witnesses saying that I had 3 years of chazakah. Right? So that's the question. Would we apply Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha? So Rabbi Nachman's saying, maybe you'll tell me that. Okay, fine, I can accept that. But how could, if we're talking about alternating crops, how could you possibly combine? Because 1, 3, and 5 is not a chazaka, and 2, 4, and 6 is not a chazaka. So you have two witnesses who aren't saying a chazaka. How can that combine to become a chazaka? Or to put it differently, if I had two witnesses testifying 1, 2, 3, or two witnesses testifying 4, 5, 6, that's a classic chazaka, no problem. But if I had two witnesses testifying 1, 3, 5, or two witnesses testifying 2, 4, 6, it wouldn't be a chazaka. So how can you imagine that you can, even if you assume that you can combine testimonies that are talking about different years, you can't combine testimonies that individually don't constitute chazaka to together come and constitute chazaka. So that's what Rav Nachman is saying. He's saying, how could you possibly say 1, 3, 5, 2, 4, 6? So, you're going to tell me that that's a chazaka? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said back, no, you misunderstood what I said. How could that be? He's saying, I agree with you fully. If you're telling me that it's 1, 3, 5, and 2, 4, 6, the year that the first witness says I was in, which is year 1, the second witness is not saying I was there. And the year that the second witness is saying I was there, which is year 2, the first witness is not saying I was there. So their testimony is not overlapping in any way. But hacho, when I said my halacha, tavaya b'chadashasa kamasadi, they were talking about the same years. One of them testified that I was eating wheat in years 1, 2, 3, and the other testified that I was eating barley in years 1, 2, 3. So what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me, Michael and Mamer, what's the question you're going to ask? The question is going to be, fine, but at the end of the day, they contradict each other. One guy said I was eating wheat, and the other guy said I was eating barley. So the Gemara answers, so Rabbi Yehuda answers, he says, Ben chiti lasari lava datayu de inchi. This is not a very important distinction because people don't pay attention or they don't see the difference. They just see wheat, they see barley, they're not sure what it is. So one guy said wheat, one guy said barley. Those aren't contradictory. It's just a reflection on the fact that people mix them up or people aren't careful about it. But at the end of the day, we can assume that they're talking about the same thing. Now, the way the Rashbam learns is a little different. The Rashbam seems to say they each testify on 3 years, but they don't say which 3 years. And since, generally speaking, the fact that people aren't careful about chita or sa'ara, so therefore we'll assume that they're each speaking about the same years, and we'll combine those two edos to come together. And so the fact that one says wheat and one says barley is not enough to disqualify the edos.